This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guests are R. Crumb, the father of underground comics, and Aline Kaminsky Crumb, who was one of the first women to create autobiographical comics back in the 1960s. They've been married for 35 years and have lived in the south of France since the early 90s. Robert Crumb created Zap Comics in the 60s, and such characters as Fritz the Cat, Mr. Natural, the Snoid, and Devil Girl. A lot of his humor comes out of his neurosis and his obsessions, sexual and otherwise. Aline first became known for her contributions to women's comics and Twisted Sisters. They each have new books. Robert's is called The Sweeter Side of R. Crumb. Aline's book, Need More Love, is a graphic memoir that collects her autobiographical comics along with a new narrative and photographs. The Crumbs sometimes work together on joint autobiographical cartoons for The New Yorker. I asked if their personas in those New Yorker cartoons are much different from who they really are.
Kind of exaggeration of who we really are, but not that far. It doesn't deviate that far from who we really are.
Well, I think I get into my our George and Gracie bit when we're doing that. I mean, I feel like I'm you know, playing my role somewhat, and you kind of feed me lines, and I react in a way that, you know, I don't necessarily do in our real life.
So what are your personas like in the cartoons?
He's the straight man. He kind of, he's George. He feeds the lines, and I like take him up and run with him. And I'm like the fool, you know.
Like, well, but also, you're flamboyant. You're gaudy. You're crass, you know, Jewish Long Island thing that you have, and you're bold, and you're, and I'm more kind of gray and goyish and
The Jew and the goy.
Right.
You know, he's like from a Minnesota farm family, and I'm from like a long line of schmata salesmen people, you know. So.
Would you tell the story of how you both met?
Who tells it, me or you, Robert?
You tell your version, I'll tell my version.
Okay, well, I was like being a Jewish cowgirl in Arizona at the time, and I thought I was completely unique.
What year is this?
This was like in the late 60s, or maybe around 69, 70, and I thought I was the only Jewish girl being a cowgirl at the time. I thought I was really being a wild adventuress. And then I saw a comic book called Dale Steinberger, The Jewish Cowgirl, done by an artist named R. Crumb, and I thought, this guy's like stolen my life here. How can this be? You know, and at the same time, I also saw a character called Honey Bunch Kaminsky, and my last name is Kaminsky. And I thought, no, wait a minute, this is really weird. And then I met a bunch of other cartoonists who met me and said, you look just like an R. Crumb character. We have to introduce you to him. So after I finished art school in Arizona, I moved to San Francisco, and then I, 2 weeks later, I met Robert. And I had a strange sinking feeling that my destiny was sort of going to be forever entwined with his. And he looked at me and said, you have cute knees. And all he felt was lust and didn't think anything more. And that's my version.
Well, that's pretty much how it was. Yeah.
did Robert, when you met Aline, did you think that she looked like one of your comic characters?
I was drawn to her strongly. Yeah. She had all the requirements, and you know, but yeah, my initial interest in her was strictly, you know, oh, here's a cute hippie Jewish slut. She'd probably easy, you know.
When did you first see her work, and what did you think of it?
Shortly after I met her, because she had just started drawing comics at that time, and she showed me this stuff that she had done and this first comics, and they were so crazy and expressionistic. I immediately found them very interesting and compelling and so deeply personal. And I'd never seen any comics like that drawn by a woman before, deeply personal. There was a few women at that time, Trina Robbins and others, who were drawing kind of feminist comics. But to me, there was two kinds. There was Trina stuff, which was like feminist fighting hero types, you know, girl detectives and things. And then there was the hippie flowery stuff that someone like Willie Mendez was doing, that's very sweet with unicorns and stuff like that. And here's Aline. It's like ugly. It's self-deprecating. It was just very confessional. That was the first time I ever saw a woman do that ever. And it probably was the first time a woman ever did that in comics. She's like the Jean Reese of comics there.
Donna Rickles.
Donna Rickles, right.
Aline, when Robert started drawing you, did that affect how you drew yourself?
Robert's stereotype big Jewish woman was very much how I saw myself before I met him. So I can't say that it affected me that much. And at that time, my drawings were so ugly and gross and exaggerated. They reflected my self-hatred so much that they barely looked human. That's right.
When you were drawing yourself, did you feel ever like you were exaggerating the physical characteristics that you knew Robert found most desirable?
Her early comics, she exaggerated herself in a way that made her this like hideous, ugly monster.
Human.
She made her nose like a giant potato, and she was just this hideous monster. She looked like William Bendix or something.
This is so far. I looked like Henry Kissinger, kind of. I mean, like, it was like so hideous, like because. You know, my bad self-image that goes back to my childhood and my parents' insulting attitude towards me.
The big defining moment in Aileen's life was, how old were you?
When?
When your father said that thing to you?
14.
Aileen's in the bathroom putting on makeup, and her father comes in and says, I need to use the bathroom. Get out of here. And she says, just a minute, I'm putting on my makeup. And he says, you know, you can't shine shit.
Yeah, so that, you know, my early comics reflected that more than anything else. And, you know, I wasn't, like, that affected by how Robert drew me or drew women at all. In fact, my art comes from such a deep expressionistic place in myself that I don't know what really controls it or what really affects it.
And here's another thing is that Aileen had no background in comics. She never read comics when she was a kid. She wasn't interested in comics that much. So her comics have no stylistic references to any cartoon tradition except the most like, crude, I don't know, stuff you see from like the 18th century is drawn by these like amateur cartoonists. It's just completely her own, comes out of some raw thing that like art school, she went to art school, didn't affect her drawing at all as far as her comics go. And her whole use of tools and equipment is completely unprofessional. She just...
Once I drew a comic with my foot, it wasn't that different.
Right. She could just like, get a twig and dip it in some ink and draw with it. It wouldn't make that much difference.
Yeah, it's unfiltered, artless expression, you know. It's like almost like outsider art. And Robert's work is really like well-drawn and it's full of form and perspective
I have reference to comic traditions that I'm, you know, very much into from childhood, and you just didn't have that at all.
No, I mean, I might have wanted to be influenced by him to make my drawing more palatable, but in fact, nothing worked. Nothing affected me.
If you're just joining us, my guests are R. Crumb and Aileen Kaminsky Crumb, and Robert Crumb has a new book called The Sweeter Side of R. Crumb, and Aileen Kaminsky Crumb has a new book called Need More Love, a graphic memoir. You know, in a recent edition of The New Yorker, the Valentine's Day edition, you had a joint comic that dealt with the fact that you've been married for decades, but you've both had other lovers.
Decades.
And Aileen, you're in a relationship with someone who you describe as your second husband, who I believe lives
with both of you. Tonight.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's waiting out in
there. He's out there waiting for us.
Okay. Let me read, unless you have it with you and you could read it, I'll read an excerpt of the comic so that...
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Aileen, you start and you say, they make a big deal over the fact that I have a couple of husbands. If I was a guy, they'd think that was cool. I know I'm too intense for one person. I think the only reason you could still stand me is because you haven't been monogamous for one day of our marriage. And then R. Crumb says, yes, that's true. And you've been very, quote, understanding about it. But come on, you haven't exactly been Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes yourself. And then Aileen says, I was just imitating you. But of course, we have a deep spiritual bond. And Robert says, and an empire that would be too hard to divide up. So I'm wondering, like, for starters, is this idea of an open marriage something that you followed when you first met? Has it always been that way?
Yeah, it has. I told Aileen right away that, said, you know, if you want to be involved with me, I get, you know, because I'd been through hell with other women over this issue, you know, of infidelity, that I just couldn't help myself, you know, and I still can't. But now I'm old, it don't matter anymore at all. But those days, I told her right away, I said, I can't be monogamous. It's just not in me. If you want to live with me, you just got to keep that in consideration. She said, okay. But of course, over the years, I had to kind of keep reminding her of that.
Well,
But she too, on the other hand, she's took that then as license to also not have to be monogamous. So,
well, the way I look at it is when I was first with you, it was difficult for me. And there was a point where I left you because I didn't know if I could deal with it. But then I realized, like, you're the only person I can really stand to live with on a day-to-day basis and that I really love deeply. So I decided that nobody's perfect and I would figure out how to deal with the situation. And somehow I did. And, you know, I was only 23 when I first started living with Robert, so in fact, I still had a lot of growing up to do and a lot of experience to live. And so in the end, I think it ended up being a good thing for me. But it's not something I would recommend anybody else, because it's a question of everybody's needs being fulfilled and satisfied, and everybody sort of knowing what they're supposed to do and getting what as much as they need, maybe not too much. But in the situation now with all of us and our various other people, no one's being hurt or left out or tortured or lied to or deceived, and nobody feels bad. So I guess that's what it boils down to. I mean, the monogamous marriage is a modern invention, more or less. People lived in tribal situations, all kinds of extended families throughout history. And maybe...
Yeah. Just tell them just say we're bohemians.
Yeah.
Let it go at that.
Okay, we're bohemians. But I also think that it's important to say that, you know, it's okay if it works.
Yeah.
Is jealousy something that you each suppress or that you're just not bothered by?
Oh, me personally, Aileen says I'm autistic because I just don't have jealous bone in my body. I just don't. If someone wants to be with somebody else, what am I, possess that person? I should not allow them to do that or try and stop them, or, you know, maybe your feelings might be hurt, but I don't have jealousy. I just don't have it in me.
For me, it's much more complicated. I can't say that I don't have jealousy. For me, it depends on who Robert's involved with. Who Robert is involved with, and if I like them and they're nice to me, and people treat each other respectfully,
they're discreet, let's say.
Well, yeah, and if I don't feel that they want to take something away from me or harm me in any way, like Robert has been involved with some women who I thought were monsters that would like to have killed me, gotten rid of me, and I wasn't particularly comfortable with that situation.
Or that the one that rummaged through your closet?
Yeah,
you didn't like
that's
that.
Right. And I said I forgave her for having a love affair with my husband, but I didn't forgive her for trying on my clothes. And, you know, that was like the ultimate lack of respect, in my opinion.
You know, and as we talked about, Robert, the last time you were on Fresh Air, you know, when you were doing your comics in the 60s, they were kind of very controversial among women. I mean, some women thought they were great, but a lot of women thought that they were really, you know, kind of sexist.
Very few women thought they were great. It was mostly
I got a hard time from the other feminist cartoonists for going out with Robert. That was like
tell us what that was like. What kind of comments did you get about that? And what did you think of the way he drew women? Were you ever, you know, offended by his emphasis on large breasts and behinds and the kind of, you know, sexual obsessions that were, described in the comics?
Tell the truth, Aileen.
Well, I was really happy that somebody liked my physical type finally. I was really flattered that that was his, like, ideal
woman. What about all
the
sick sadism and all that stuff?
Well, it corresponded with my own sick masochism. But aside from that, I thought that feminists had, cartoonists had no right to tell me who to go out with and how to conduct my personal life. And in real life, Robert's, like, was my best fan, the most supportive person I could have ever been with in terms of my work. And even though being with him may have affected the public's perception of my work, it didn't affect my desire to work at all, because he was such a supportive person to live with always. Like, he laughs at my stories more than anybody, and harder. He falls on the ground laughing so hard.
I do. It's true. She makes me fall on the ground.
But the feminist cartoonist...
She'll say, I'll be falling on the ground. She'll say, well, what's wrong with you? Get up. Get off the ground. What are you doing down there?
But in the early women comics, there were some very angry women, and they really hated and resented Robert's work. And when I started going out with him, they started to ice me out, and then they started to reject my comics from their books, saying that they weren't, like, feminist enough. My feminist consciousness was not evolved enough. And Diane Newman was also in that group. I brought her into that early group also. We met, and I really liked her, and I liked her work. And then she started going out with Bill Griffith, so she was also iced out. And they called us camp followers, as a matter of fact, in an article in the Berkeley Barb. So Diane and I then broke off from the group and started Twisted Sisters. And we saw ourselves as feminists, but we were more like bad girl feminists that wanted to, like, have sex with men and dress in sexy clothes and play it for all we could get out of it and still be totally in control of ourselves. We thought of ourselves more as sexy Amazons, which also went along with the way Robert saw women. So, you know, when he'd do things like vulture demonesses, I said, yeah, I could go with that. I kind of feel like that. Or, you know, devil girl. Yeah, I'm devil girl, you know. There's a part of me that really likes that. I'm really strong. I like to show my strength. I was always like that. I never felt victimized. I never felt afraid of anything, you know. So
I'm much more fearful and feel more victimized than Aileen does.
Absolutely. You know, so there was something that really appealed to me in his depiction of women. He was kind of the wimpy guy that was like, you know, idolized and was tortured by and fearful of women. All of those things wrapped up into one, you know, and I could relate to it.
Well, Aileen, you write about how when you met Robert, he was like really famous. And at that time,
I was only really known in the hippie subculture.
Well, that eventually he became famous. But you say he didn't handle it well, and you saw what fame did to him. What did it do?
Well, you know, since he was a reject all through high school, when he was younger, he was missing his front teeth, and he was kind of funny looking, and no woman would ever look at him. And then all of a sudden, when he got famous, like all these women wanted to have sex with him, he was like completely overwhelmed, and he just wanted it all, and he couldn't handle any of it, and he said yes to everybody, so there would be like tons of people around who had, you know, or didn't know what they were supposed to be doing and were just sort of like hanging around him, and it was created a terrible kind of chaos. And some of those people were like actually mentally unbalanced, you know. And it was the 60s and everybody was taking drugs too, so it was just a complete chaotic scene. And plus there was a certain amount of money coming in, and then rock stars were hanging around him. So
the money was completely mismanaged.
It was a very decadent, very chaotic, disgusting, unclear, you know, for me, it was an uncomfortable scene. I actually fled from that, you know, at one point. And then Robert came and sought me out afterwards, because I think that, you know, he realized he had to get out of that. It was like some kind of survival thing. But I felt that he was sinking in that, and I felt that it was going to destroy him.
Robert, is that an accurate picture?
Afraid so. When Aileen fled from it in 1974, I went after her because I realized that she's like the life raft. And I mean, I've said it in interviews and stuff before that I sometimes think if I hadn't, you know, grabbed onto Aileen, I might be dead now, because I was involved with all these crazy women. They're all crazy. And Aileen seemed to have her feet on the ground somehow. And I needed someone like that. She was the only one that was cared enough about me or was willing to, you know, take me on. And I needed someone like that.
Aww,
yeah.
That's so cute.
Aileen, is that ever a burden? Because Aileen, like, you have all these like kind of like demons and crazinesses of your own, but it sounds like in the relationship you have to like be the sane one.
No, it's not like that.
No, she just has to. Okay.
Not like she's the sane one, but that she is better at handling, you know, people. She's better at, she can think on her feet quicker. Like, you know, if a journalist comes to the door unannounced and wants to talk to me,
I'll
throw him out. I just, well, okay, yeah. And like this last week in France, some journalists came there to talk to me, and I let him in, I'm sitting in the kitchen table. Aileen comes downstairs. She looks around and says, what is this? Who are these people? How'd you get in here? And Robert told me he didn't want to talk to any more journalists. I said, Robert, what are you doing? So I was so embarrassed, I got up and fled the room. And Aileen just told those people, dégage, she kicked them out.
And they said to me, you know, you can't control the media. I said, I can try. Get out of my house.
At first they said, who are you?
Yeah, I'm the wife. Get out. You know,
and I couldn't do that. I can't do it. I'm weak.
But going back to the beginning, I have to say that I think that, you know, I was 23 when I met Robert, and he was in his late 20s. And I think that we both came from very dysfunctional, hate to use that word, families, and that I think we parented each other. I think that,
that's,
you know,
true.
We both completed each other's childhoods in a positive way, so that then we functioned much better as adults as time went on. And I think that we did that for each other. So
we did, yeah. We parented each other.
You were my life raft, too. You were the kind father that I never had.
Aww.
You, and you were my best fan.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
And you really supported me as an artist, too. So I feel it was completely mutual.
Yeah. When I first met Aileen, she had a real hard edge to her from what she grew up in, that Long Island Goodfellas life. And she, you know, she kind of lived with these rough people. And And she was in Arizona. She was this crazy, rough cowgirl. And living with me, she gradually got softer. She got, like, more open. First, I couldn't look her in the eye. There was a craziness in her eyes that I couldn't barely look at.
You said I looked like a wolf.
Yeah, wolf eyes. So she's kind of, you know, she's more, she often will say this in a joking way that I kind of made her more civilized.
Yes, I'm a refined product now,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
I finally left Long Island. I live in a medieval village in the south of France, you know.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't have to retire in Miami now.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, dear.
Well, I want to thank
you're welcome.
Both so much for talking with us. Thank you.
Love the laughs.
Thanks, Terry. It was fun.
R. Crumb's new book is called The Sweeter Side of R. Crumb. Aileen Kaminsky Crumb's book is a graphic memoir called Need More Love.